Let's summarize exactly what we learned. We learned a lot last week, but we learned to keep focused on. We learned that only if it's written in the Torah, is written in the Torah, can you the person make a claim of money for compensation. If it's written in the Torah, you can make a claim for compensation. If it's not written in the Torah, you can't make a claim for compensation. Even if it seems that he's damaged me, it has to be written in the Torah. We learned from the Mishnah that even things which are not written in the Torah, but if you could in theory make from the things that are written in the Torah, or Mam and Sinus from the things which are written in the Torah, then that's also considered as if written in the Torah, and therefore you'll be able to make your claim for compensation. That's what we learned from the Mishnah. From the Gemara said, okay, what happens if you don't use a Kal Vachomer or Mam and Sinus to extend those things which are written in the Torah? But you use another rule called comparison. Told us is also a rule to extend things. So if I use the method of comparison, is that also, that's the shayla, is that also as either written the Torah and therefore I can make a claim or not? That was the question. And the Gemara of Rav Papa answers, it says it is good. Told us is a good method to comparison, to create things that even though they're not written in the Torah, if it's what's the Torah, it will be good enough to be as if it's written in the Torah, and therefore be able to make a claim. That's the answer of Hopper. However, there's one of those which is it's not good enough for, because obviously it's a weak comparison. So we have to go through now the list and see, out of all the lists, which are good comparisons, which you can have the same halacha as in making a claim, and which is a weak comparison. Now, tomorrow is making a discussion through all the ones that are written in the Torah, the up ones, the four up ones, and it's discussing the tolders, meaning the comparison ones, and are they good comparisons, and therefore they're going to have the same halacha, or is it going to be the weak one, and therefore they won't have the same. So the last thing we saw is that we cut off with Kenan, with Gorm, and we didn't know exactly what that was. And we said at the end of the day that Keren the Torah means that the ox is using its natural horn from birth to cause damage, not an artificial horn which it picked up with its mouth, but the actual real horn from birth. That's what the Keren meant in the Torah. And now we're about to go forward and discuss what exactly is the tolders of Keren. Now we're going to discuss exactly what is the tolders of Keren. So let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara that we're up to is, let's say, it's nearly halfway. It's Seventeen lines down, Shura is the beginning of the line, and the middle of the 17th line, Shura, it's Tolter. That's where we're up to. So Tolter, now we're going to discuss what exactly are the Tolters of Keren. Meaning, what's the comparison ones, which are not actually written in the Torah of Keren, which are going to be compared to Keren in order to be chayav like it. Tolter the Keren Mahi. What exactly are the Tolters of Keren? So we're just going to read the Gemara as normal and just do the types, and then we'll analyze it. Mahi, what are the tolders of Keren? Negifa, that is, it pushes with its body. Nishicha, the ox bites. Revitza, the ox crouches. Yeah, that's a good word. Ebita, and the ox kicks. Now, maishna negicha to correlate up. Now, Negicha, you said to me, it's called an Av, and Av, we know, means it's written in the Torah. Niksiv, Kiyigah, because it's written in Kiyigah. Negifa, Namiksiv. Negifa, why you say Negifa, pushing, is a Tolder, meaning it's written in the Torah. Negifa is also written in the Torah. It's written in the Torah, should be an Av. Kiyigah, because it's written in Yigah as well. Yigah. So that the Gemara answers. High Negifa, that when the Torah makes uses the words yigo, it doesn't mean pushing. Negichahu. It also means goring with its horn. So when we're talking about negifa, we mean pushing, and that's not written in the Torah. But it says the word negifa in the Torah doesn't mean what we're talking about pushing. It means goring, and that is the same as negifa. It's the same as what the other word negifa. So there's two ways to translate goring with your horn in the Torah. Negifa is one word to say that's what you mean. Negifa is another word to say the same thing. This Tanya had the Brisa says, Pasach ben Negicha, Tzayim ben Negicha. How do I know it means the same? So I bring a Raya from the Brisa. The Brisa says, I know Negicha means goring, because the same Pasach, which quotes Negicha, which we think is pushing, ends off with the Negicha, with using his horn. So it can't be that the same action changed halfway through the pasuk. Can't be he starts off pushing and then he goes. Obviously, he was goring all the way along, and the end word reveals to us that when you start at the beginning of the pasuk, it says negifa, that's also using its horn. Lemachal zuhi negifa zuhi negicha. That the negifa and negicha are exactly the same thing as far as the Torah's wording is. It means using a horn. So. Maishna, now the Gemara asks, okay, but a bit bothered that it means the same thing. So if it means the same thing, why use different words? Why use different words? Why use, either be uniform, use one word all the way through? Why something changed over here, say Negifa, say here Negicha, if it means the same thing with your horn? Well, then why are you changing it? It's Maishna, Gabi Otolik, Sif, Igach. Where did it write? It wrote it when it's talking about the ox. Charging at a man. Maishma gabi behema the tziki ego. When it talks about an ox chasing after its fellow ox, it says a loss of ego, and both cases are talking using a horn. So why change the wording when you're talking about ox chasing an ox? Adam the mazda kis ego. So man. Which has obviously muzzle. We'll see what Rashi had. Rashi translates that. Also, which has a certain muzzle, certain force or protection. Ksiv ki yigach. It writes the Torah yigach, which is a stronger force, because in order to knock a rashash puts it down that in order to person over to run from a distance. So yigach implies from a distance. He's using his horns, but really to get him, he has to make a big run up to get the arms again. Gigigat behema. Behema, the less they must have an animal, which hasn't got a protection force. See if it writes, Gigigat, he can just charge, another ox can charge that ox, even in close peninsula, he doesn't need to do a long run up and still get his results of damaging. And therefore, we're just telling you, a agav kiddush, not a rightly directly negeir to us. It's just agav. What we're telling you, the mother adam having ruled the behemoth, that if the ox manages to hit a man three times, damage a man three times, he manages to do that. So once the ox does something three times, if he's no longer, he's now gets a different category. He's called mu'ad, and now instead of paying half, he pays the whole amount of money. So if he does this to a human being, having ruled the behemoth, then if he can knock over a human being which has extra protection force, for sure, if he then, we assume he's going to do that to an animal, easy, be able to knock over the animal and do that. And therefore, if he does it to the animal, even once, after doing three times to a human being, even if he does it once to an animal, he already has to pay the full amount of money, because he was already in the category of being an extremely dangerous animal, even for other animals, once he's knocked over a human being. But mu'ad behema, lo havi mu'ad ba'otam. But if the ox gores another ox three times, okay. Now, if he gores the ox another ox a fourth time, he pays full whack money, the whole amount, as it's shown. But if he gores the fourth time, not an ox, But a human being, and this is the first time he's hitting the human being, then he won't be considered mu'l for Otzam. This is, we say, wow, this is very unusual event. We didn't expect this. He's been hitting over oxes, but human beings, that's a different thing, and different thing altogether. That's much difficult. This is very unusual. He's still called a tam for that glory, and he pays half for the human being. So that's the agav thing. Okay, so that is the first bit of the Gemara. So the first bit of the Gemara. So it's saying we have categories of tolters by carrot, which is not using the horn. Horn is the kind of thing. Anything else, body, kicking, or biting, or crouching, all those of damaging are called tolters, comparisons to this arm. Now, let me ask you the question, just a question to answer the Gemara, and then we'll carry straight away to the Gemara. What, therefore, is the characteristic of Karen? We want to know what to define the Avmalacha, the characteristic of the Avmalacha. In order to make passions, you have to know what you're making Karen too. So, what's the characteristic of the Avmalacha? Now, the Avmalacha, we know, is ox using its horn to gore with it and cause damage. What is the characteristic of such an action that we want to now make comparison and say, you know, if he uses his body to nudge, or if he bites, or he crouches, or he kicks, then it's compared to the self. What is you comparing to? That these things have also similar things. What is the comparison? What's the possibility? Deliberate. So Mr. Welling says, deliberate is definitely a characteristic. Can anyone suggest another possibility? There's no benefits to the owner, but well, if it damages with wild regal, let's say example, the ox, which is not damaging with its horn, but damages with its feet by walking on something, doesn't necessarily cause benefits either, yeah? So, but it's still not called, that's called regal. So we need something special to Karen. This is the character of Karen. It doesn't apply by Shane, it doesn't apply by Rachel. This is what points out Karen. This is the character. Okay, now I can make comparisons to see if we've got anything that fits into that Karen as well. Yeah, that's just our lot of it. First, I have to know what the first time characteristic is that it defines it. So Mr. Welling's already said one very good thing, that he intends the damage. Yeah. Malicious intention damage. This is similar to what Mr. Welling says. Anyone got another using its horn? So maybe it's, if you say the horn is intrinsic for defining carrion, then you can never make comparisons. Because when you use your body, well, that's not comparable to horns, it's body. So you have to have something that is a bit broad in comparison to. I'm not asking whether you can say if Mr. Welling is wrong. I'm asking for another option. Another option out there. Okay. So, at the moment, we've only got one possibility. Let's carry on looking on and see if something lights up in our head that is a potential another possibility. Doesn't necessarily, okay, but Rego also doesn't benefit, yeah? So therefore we need something special to carry. Okay, so let's go, okay, so then I'm going to ask a question, and this is here where things open up, what we're trying to search for. Nishika told the Shady, why are you saying Nishika biting? Obviously he's using his teeth. The ox, you say, biting is called or told of the Karen. It's comparable to Karen. I would say, says the Gemara, it's comparable to Shane. Because what's Shane? Shane is he's using his teeth to eat and consume things. So he's using his teeth to bite. So I would compare it to Shane. Why are you saying in the Brisa the Shicha is in the category of Karen compared to Karen? That's the Gemara's question. No, Shane, it's not in the category of Shane. Why? Because Shane Yesh Hanal Hazeka,
Ha ein hana lezik. When an animal eats with its food, with its teeth, it's doing it for a purpose, called to get its personal benefits. It wants to enjoy something. That's what you define shein is. Eats the animal's consuming something or damaging something in order to, for its own benefit, to have hanon. Ha ein hanon azekan. This heron, which is biting for the purpose of biting, he's not getting any benefit. The animal's not getting any benefits out of doing it. So obviously, why is he doing it? In order to damage. To damage, that's why he's doing it. The kavana of the ox, if he's not going to get benefit out of doing this action, obviously he's doing it to damage. So that proves a bit Mr. Webbing's point. Then the Gemara says, repeat the Peter, crouching, damaging by crouching and kicking. Why are you saying that's the tolls of the terror? I would say, says the Gemara, told to the regular, fits comparison to you damaging using his feet. Yeah, just as you, regularly as animal walks along the path, doesn't see where he's going, and he tramples on things and destroys them, that's regular. And what's kicking? Kicking his feet. That's Hanu ein hezekah motzun. What's these words mean? This thing is not an ego, because the ego is hezekah motzun. And this is not hezekah motzun. What these words mean, hezekah motzun? Common. So, ego is when it's a normal thing for it to do. It's involved in a process which normally is involved, and therefore, normally, through this process, if it's involved in, it's quite possible to damage. But kicking and crouching is an abnormal activity to do it in a fashion when it damages. So therefore, that can't be regular. It has to be in the pasture of Cam. So now, with these words, have we now introduced another characteristic of what Karen is? What will we introduce? What, besides kavana to cause damage, which was the first statement, what will we now introduce with these words? Unnormal behavior. Yeah? Not expected behavior. Not expected behavior. So now we have two characteristics out there, which the Gemara seems to imply is a definition of keren. And that is, Karen, with its horn, goring horns, has two aspects to it. It first has kavana to damage. Now, my question is that is both an intrinsic definition of Karen, and therefore to make comparisons, I told us you have to have in the told us both. Or one of them is intrinsic and the other is not intrinsic definition of keren, and therefore the comparison doesn't need to be both, it just needs to be the intrinsic one. What would be the nafgimina? So, yeah. Because the word translates being damaging, not to get, he's damaging his item, not in order to get hana. Obviously, he's doing it in order to have kavana to damage. Not hana means kavana to damage, that's what it means. So the two aspects out there is intention to damage and unusual events. We're now asking, what is the definition of keren? Both of them? And therefore told us, in order comparisons to be good comparisons, have to have both, or one of them is intrinsic. Now let me elaborate, or at least hit you, you absorb this question with a very obvious nafkimin. What's the halacha of somebody's pet snake that damages? Let me ask you. A pet snake that comes out and bites, is it normal or not normal for a snake to bite? Is it normal or not normal?
Normal.
Very normal. Every snake bites. But is it intending to damage the snake? Is it doing it in order to get hanah? Is the snake biting to get hanah? So whenever the snake's biting, whenever you say it's biting, not hanah, we say it means he's really just doing it to damage. Okay. So the snake is very normal for him to damage. But he's definitely doing it with kavanah to damage. So now the question is that snake, the owner of that snake, is he going to be in the category of Karen or not? If you need both, then you don't have both by snake. If you don't need both, then you have to choose which one's the main one, and then you'll decide what snake is. So does all these tortoises have both? Firstly, does the pushing have both? Does the kicking have both? Which one doesn't have both? It says that the tortoise, so the four that we're discussing is biting, not for eating purposes, pushing, just to cause damage, revitsa, crouching, and kicking. So those four, not Shane, Shane is the one, that one. So those four do have both characteristics. So I can't work it out just from the four. And therefore, I have to try and see if I can work it out from somewhere else. But we know both the classic ox goring with its horn and the four tortoises have both. But do you need to have both in order to be a Karen? And therefore, does the comparison always have that problem? Now, for a minute, this snake case. That is our, we want to investigate. That's what we really want to investigate. So let's go back. You said there's four in the Bible. Oh, you mean at the top? Yeah, Karen, Shane, Beredel. There's three things that ox damages. Now we just Karen. And what is the makeup of Karen? And we know that Karen, classic one, happens to have two properties to it. We want to know, is that you have two properties that are intrinsic or not? But now, if you go back to, give me a half the other side. And I'll share the screen with Joseph. Now remember, the end of last year, we brought down a machlokas between how the Rambam learns in the eyes of Daim Abramsky and how the Rashba learns. Okay, so what were they talking about? Let us just refresh our memories what they were discussing. Nir Shittas HaRambam says the Daim Abramsky again, Marita Isgen, Amachaba, according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, Meskona is that the Pasuk is talking about Shmuchu Beres, a natural horn. Yeah, Bechadagika is natural, born from birth. That's what they're talking about when he's goring. Ein lachayv al keren telusa. Therefore, if the ox then picks up a horn with its mouth and charges, that will not be obligate the owner to pay. Why? Why would, if he picks up the ox with a horn and charges, does then he not pay? Because Mustabash Atura Chayv Nishma Behinto Shlo Hizik Bizer, Shesh Bekofa Beshus Kumashivasa, only something which is normal. Normal that it's got its natural horn, or it's got a horn on top of it. The owner can think, you know, that's a bit dangerous, this animal can cause dangers with this horn. I can see my ox here. It's got a horn. This is a potential damage. So the Torah expects you, look after this ox so it doesn't damage with its horn. And therefore, okay, if you don't, you're going to be liable. You're going to be liable to pay because that's your expectation. But who would think, Bechlau, that the ox will pick up a horn and in its mouth and charge? No one would expect that. And just as we don't expect that, the owner is also expect that. And therefore, the Torah doesn't expect the ox to be guarded from such activity. If it happens, he's not liable. Now, according to that logic, what is, therefore, can we prove from that halacha that an animal picks up a horn with its mouth and charges the owner's off the hawk, it's not called keren? Can we prove from that? So what is the nature of keren? What is out? We had two possibilities, which was, or both of them, which was kavodah to cause damage and unexpected activity. Yeah, when it goes with its, even when it goes with its natural horn, it's intentional, but unexpected. Even natural horn is not expected, it's unexpected. So if you're telling me that an ox that picks up a horn and charges the owner's off the hook totally, and it's not even a tolter, because it can't compare it to the classic horn. So what is the classic horn that I need to make comparisons to? What is the definition of this classic horn? What? When the horn's on the ox's head, it's possible to damage, but it's unexpected damage, possible to damage. When the horn is not on the ox's head, then that's out of the world. Yeah, foreseeable, but unexpected. That's when it's natural horn. But if it's not natural, it just picks it up, you're off the hook. Why? Why are you off the hook? You wouldn't be classic. So what is therefore intrinsic definition of caring to be on the hook? That could be expected. So we see from this sakalaka that caring has to have a certain expectations levels. Has to have certain issues. Unexpected, not normal. Not normal is a characteristic. Not normal is a characteristic, but not out of this world. So therefore, if it's totally normal, it's not going to be caring. If it's totally out of this world, it's not going to be caring. If it's unexpected, but could happen, I could see it happening, then that's what's called caring. So kavonas and lahadik is not definitely not the only factor. We have to have expectation levels is also a factor. However, we saw that this is not the only opinion over there. The Rashba, in fact, over says, he says, Af to Lusha, the Talmud Mishalach HaSinezer, even according to the Mishalach, if the ox picks up a horn and charges and damages, the owner does have to pay. Why? He says, Havile Tolter the Kerem, because it is a Tolter the Kerem. It is comparable to the natural horn. Now, if the Rashba is saying a very unexpected, non-predictable event, you could never fathom this would happen, you're still going to be chayev because it can still compare to the natural horn. So what a point to Rashba is going to be that factor. What is caring or not? What's going to be the factor? Not have them. You have two options. Intention to damage. Call to them now. Intention to damage. If the only factor is intention to damage, then I'm not interested in expectation levels at all. There's just intention to damage. If it's intention to damage, then okay, that's going to be caring. So it doesn't matter what the expectation levels are. Doesn't matter if it's totally out of the wall. The other day, he did something with intention, that Karen, the Balaam have to pay, so therefore I understand that this Tulusha Karen also the Balaam have to pay. So it seems to be our question of what's the intrinsic character that you need to compare to seems to be a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam says you have to have expectation levels is a factor as well to take into account, and therefore not just have convolutional damage, also that it has to be unexpected, but it could happen. And therefore, both need it, and therefore both need it for the total. But in the eyes of the Rashba says, I don't interest expectations. Is it conformist? Is he doing it? The damage, then you're high. And therefore, the tolls will be the same. So that will come out. What will be the thing with the nochosh, with the snake? What should the Rambam say by the snake? The Rambam say the potter. And what should the Rashba say by the snake? It should say that you're high. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask three questions now, and then we'll analyze Rashi. Yes? So, it was saying, he gave normal advice, but he's definitely doing it on purpose. Or if the Rashi says that he's doing it on purpose, then... So, because the Rambam says you need something which is not predictable, not normal, even though it's predictable, but it's not normal. But the snake is definitely normal. It's definitely normal. Snake is very normal for it to bite. And according to the Rambam, the factor of predictability is a factor. And what is that? That defines kind of something in the middle. That it's not normal, but you can hear it happening. That is the definition according to the Rambam. So as soon as it's normal, it's not going to be carried. As soon as it's pretty out as well, it's not going to be carried. So therefore, snake, which is very normal, is not going to be carried, according to the Rambam. And it should be potter. It should be not dim of carried. It should be the Rashba will definitely say that Karen was the only factor he wants to damage. A snake wants to damage all the time. That's what he wants to do. So it's going to be Karen. That's what it comes out. It's obvious. He can put it in another category. But then it will be defined by the limitations of a category. So when you say Potter, we say it's not Karen. Potter from Karen. Maybe another category, and then it has its rules, but Potter from Keller. Okay. Now, here's my three questions, and we'll finish after the three questions. Maybe do one in Rashi, because people want to leave 5 minutes earlier, and it's good enough information today. We'll finish tomorrow through all the Rashi. Okay. So, the three questions like this. Now, tell me, I've learned Gemara, and you've learned also Gemara for many years, I know how things normally work, and, you know, you've got something out there called the classic heron with its horn attached to its head, and it causes damage. And it happens to have two characteristics built into it. It's something which is not a usual event. It can happen, not usual events. And he's definitely doing it for damages. Okay, it has both factors. So, would you say that without proving otherwise, without any proof, would you say you need both or you just need one out of the two? What would you answer the question? How would you answer the question? Just naturally. It has two properties. That's what the Torah is talking about. It has two characteristics, two properties. That's when you're high. Now, when you say, I have to compare, I have to see what's the intrinsic one. Without proofs, what would I say is the intrinsic one? Without proofs. This is what's written in the Torah. It has two characteristics. Without proofs, so I say you need both, or one of them is good enough. I don't need both. It's got both. That's all it's written. Especially by Mazikin, where we say the whole thing of paying, you don't pay unless it's written. Well, this is what has written. And bull, you have to be bull how it's written to be live. So what's bull means both. So why can the Rashba say you can get away with one? Why does the Rashba say you can get away with one? The Rambam is very disturbed. You need both. That's first question. Second question. We'll do one line, last line of the Gemara. Had told us on last Yotz Behem, Dora Papa, aha. That statement that there's one Tolda out there that is not really a good comparison and doesn't have the lotus, what is it referring to? That Rav Papa says. Ilema, if you want to suggest he's a honey, he's referring to our four cases of nudging and biting. That they're not a good comparison. If you want to say they're not a good comparison, says Mash, okay. The Kavonas of the Hasik, Emona Koshmilas Alecha, Hani Nami Hasik, Emona Shazama. Talking about is a very good comparison. They're all four, those all four good cases, exactly the same as the classic one of the horn. What's that classic one of the horn? What's the one which it has the same? Now, if I'm Rambam, what would I say? What's the classic case of the horn and these ones which have much the same things? What would I say the classic one is in the Rambam's words? Kavon is the damage and it's not so expected. Not so expected. And if you're the Rashba, what would you say? No, it has classic like the up. Because it has, what's the one according to the Rashba it has? You only need what? Attention blemish. What did the Gemara say? Hanami kavonasa lahar and azik monasa shmirasa alecha. What's the Gemara saying is the definition of keren, which is the thing that you're comparing to, and these have, what's the Gemara saying? Two or one? Only one. Kavonasa to damage. It doesn't mention anything about being expected or unexpected. That fits very nicely in the Rashba. And maybe that's the source of the Rashba, why he chose one. Now we've got a question on the Rambam. The Gemara says what? Final question. If you look back at your sheets, this will go down not to number two. He says, what would the Rashba hold by snake? Would he say it is Kerem or not Kerem? You say it's Kerem, because according to the Rashba, you just need intention to damage. Okay. Says the Rashba number two. Sova ani, I hold, sha'af hanochos, shanasach. You have a snake that bites. Have you told her to shame? It's not a comparison to Kerem, it's comparison to called shame. Given to all Chibahochi, because that's normal. And therefore, no nothing is said, therefore, it fits in with using its mouth, normal way, fits in, shame, eating. Okay, not, hold on. Rashba, you said Karen just means intentional damage. Snake is intentional damage. You should be Karen. Why you say shame? That is the final question. Okay, Mr. Shem will analyze Rashi tomorrow. On the Gemara, see if we can come up with any answers.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Kiva.
Thank you.